Hello and welcome to today's MTC Studios session, Security and Manageability on a Personal Level. My name is Tyler Cooper and I'm a solutions architect here in the Microsoft Technology Center in Atlanta, Georgia. Through today's session, what I'd like to do is again talk to you about security and manageability, but more on a personal level. And I want to set the stage a little bit before we get to the agenda and put a couple of reminders out there. The first one is security really does not have to be the enemy of productivity. And today I'm going to show you how tools like Windows Hello and Microsoft Passport not only improve the user experience, but improve your security posture. The second thing that I want to talk about today is that security is really everyone's responsibility. As we've all seen, breaches are front page news. It's a board level discussion, and security is something that needs to be taken very seriously from top to bottom. So part of today's discussion is about how we can not only help inform our users, but also protect them. After we talk about the security landscape, we're then going to go and take a look at how this fits for the end user. What does it look like? What does it feel like? How does it make their life easier? And then finally, at the end of today's session, we're going to do some Q&A. Let's get started. I always like to start out by talking about Microsoft's mission to empower every person in every organization on the planet to achieve more. What's really interesting about this statement is not only is it bold, but you don't see security mentioned there, and that's because Microsoft inherently builds security into our products. That is a big focus of ours, and it's actually something that Bill Gates inspired in the company many years ago with the secure development lifecycle. So it's built in, not bolt on, and that's a really important thing to distinguish between our products and others. And so, with that said, I want to talk a little bit about the security landscape. And so again, security does not have to be the enemy of productivity. We're seeing a massive shift today, and that's part of what's creating these new vulnerabilities. So our users no longer have one device that sits in the office. Many years ago, we could count on those devices being under a desk. Applications were hosted inside of the data center or ran on your PC, and we stored the data there. Now data is on our PC, on our mobile phones, tablets, in the cloud, OneDrive, you name it. Our data's gone everywhere, and now IT is responsible for making sure they understand where the data is and how it's protected. And so what this has done is it's really changed the IT environment and landscape. And so let's just look at that quickly, because part of improving your business means working differently and more collaboratively with others. But that's not always such a simple equation. So just taking a look at the traditional IT environment, you know, we've got everything from cloud technologies and on-premise data center, full-time employees connecting into your resources, partners and contractors who are connecting who need limited access. But are they on-premise? Do we give them VPN credentials? What's the right way to approach this? And not only what's the right way to approach it, but how do we make sure that we're doing whatever we can to avoid being compromised by those third parties? It's important to consider that when you work with a contracting firm, you might create an account for them in your own environment. If something were to happen, some sort of event where that person was terminated, you're relying upon that company to contact you in a short duration of time to turn that account off. They may not. And that's why identity is so important, but not only identity, but really understanding the full landscape of your IT environment, because if we're not careful, we can introduce vulnerabilities and really open holes. And that's why Microsoft has approached this in a different way. First of all, we believe in an assume breach philosophy. And what that means is we need to protect at every layer. Perimeter defense is great, but it's just a part of it. We need to protect at the perimeter, the identity, the application, and right there in the data as well as monitor. And so we look at this with a plan to protect all endpoints. They need protection. We need to make sure that those measures are in place. But we also have to be watchful. We need to look for signals that indicate a problem. We need to know before it happens. We need to break the glass and understand if something has happened in our environment so that we can respond. And one of the biggest challenges is getting all the tools in place to protect, detect, and respond. And I think what you'll see today is that we have a great set of tools leveraging cloud intelligence to do all of the above. So we've talked about security, and again, this is a board level discussion. You're seeing it everywhere. It's on the front page. It's you know, frankly, it can be an embarrassment to your company. Who knows what comes out? You look at some of these breaches, very high profile, Sony, the United States government. I mean, these are companies or organizations with huge resources that are still getting infiltrated. And that's because the attackers have gotten so good. Just a couple of numbers to throw out. 160 million customer records compromised. 229 days from the time of infiltration to detection. That's almost a year, more than half of a year that somebody is in your environment, searching around, building intelligence, better understanding you and your company and what kind of value they can extract from being in your environment. And an average cost of about $3 million per breach. Again, the stakes are very high and attackers are so good today. So let's look at a few of the common ways that attackers are getting into your environment and how we can prevent it. So as I had mentioned, 200 and some odd days between infiltration and detection. And what's happening there is they're doing research. These attackers are out on LinkedIn. They're building org charts. They're understanding who a manager is, who their direct reports are, what are they interested in. And they might send an email out phishing. Hey, here's an article I thought that would be interesting. We can spoof the manager's email address. All the directs click on it, and somehow it goes through a logon page that looks just like their own. Well, we've just picked up their credential. And that's the first step in the anatomy of a breach. Second step there is now we're going to look for the next set of credentials. And a little bit later, we're going to talk about pass the hash and credential guard because this is such an important topic. Oftentimes, malware, as it gets introduced, its entire purpose is to rob the credential vault of your Windows PC. That means it's pulling all those saved passwords, domain credentials, and so forth. Once we have those, we're likely going to find someone from the help desk who's remoted in, an administrator who might have connected to a server. We're going to start to pick up those credentials. And as an attacker, it allows us to continue elevating throughout the environment. It's the credential crab walk. We're getting more and more permissions to the point that we can finally own this environment and walk away with it, whatever we want, and have all the permissions to cover our tracks. That's why you have to have the tools in place to catch this. So I've talked about our approach, but really what we're trying to do is ruin the economic model. If we can protect in the right places, yeah, you may get in, but you're not going to walk away with any data, or the data that you walk away with, we've classified. We understand that it's low business impact. We're okay with an attacker knowing who's bringing potato salad to the company picnic. That's fine. But our more sensitive data, social security numbers, credit cards, they're never going to get it. And if they get the file, we're going to be able to revoke access or make sure they've never opened it. Actually have tools to show that they've not been able to successfully breach the document. We're going to break the playbook. All of these things that they're doing to get in, we're going to start deploying new technologies with Windows 10 and Office 365, where even if somehow that malware gets onto the PC and the user's there ready to click, Windows protects them. Not only does Windows protect them, the device protects them. And that leads into eliminating those vectors of attack. And that's what's so important with Credential Guard, Device Guard, Windows 10, and all of these things. Back to what I said earlier, we have to not only protect the user, but educate the user. And this is part of protecting the user inherently with their device, Windows, and the services that your enterprise offers. And so let's talk about Microsoft's approach. It's around platform, intelligence, and partners. And the platform is a really unique approach because it starts with the identity. When you sign in to a Microsoft Online service, it's using Azure Active Directory at the back end, which receives 3 billion logons per day. And with those logons, we understand where they're coming from. Is it a malicious IP address that's attacking with the identity? We understand an awful lot about who's coming in, where they should be coming in from. And we can even let the customers choose how they're going to be able to access different resources. Should you be allowed to access it from offsite? Maybe yes, maybe no. But you now have the tools to make that decision. The device is another component here. The device actually is stateful and understands whether or not it's been compromised through the TPM chip. With that said, that's part of the decision that goes into whether or not you can authenticate to a service. Part of that ease of use I talked about is, hey, I want to use biometrics for two-factor authentication. rather than a PIN that I have to find, type in, I can just look at my PC and sign on. That's good enough for two-factor. And so the device has to be aware, because if the device realizes that it's been compromised, it won't release that two-factor credential. And that's hardened on the machine. Finally, the apps and data. Tools like rights management let us actually protect the document. It's a self-protecting document. And our applications through this access paradigm that I talked about are so important, because now we're making sure we understand how the applications are being accessed, what systems are accessing them, and we can even get down to our traditional Active Directory security groups to determine how that should work on a per user basis. Finally, we need the right tools deployed on our infrastructure to understand breaches, attempted breaches, and anomalous activity. What that means is we're looking for patterns, and we're looking for inconsistencies in those patterns that tell us something may be wrong. For example, an average user probably does not launch PowerShell and remote to another system. If we start to see those types of things happening, we know that an attacker is in play. We can go ahead and stop that, sound the alarms, and respond. Respond before anything's really breached. And so the start of that is modern security threats need a new platform. Windows 7 is a great operating system. However, it was built for a different era. When Windows 7 shipped, we were just crossing the 50% mark on laptops versus desktops. Today, we see very few desktops, and most employees are mobile, either via, you know, tablets, laptops, phones. So we had to look at this differently. And with Windows 10, that starts with identity protection. What I talked to you about a little bit before is Credential Guard. Credential Guard is something that is hardening the Windows system and making it almost impossible to loot the credential vault. That's one aspect of protecting the identity, but as we move towards biometrics in Windows Hello, the user doesn't have to type their password as often. We're moving away from constantly typing the password. So in a sense, if a keylogger infected the machine, they're typically now using a PIN, which doesn't roam to any other machines, or a biometric credential, which also doesn't roam to any other machines. So this is a really important first measure in your enterprise to protect against both malware and other anomalous activities. Data protection. For many years, we've relied on whole disk encryption through tools like Microsoft's BitLocker. And they work great. They give us a sense of protection because we know when the disk was last reported encrypted. But in today's modern world, while we may have turned flash drives off, our users are now drag and dropping into Dropbox, into OneDrive. And we don't know where that data is going. So we have to A, find out where the data is going, but B, make sure that as it moves outside of our perimeter, it's protected. And that's where rights management is so important, as well as something called Windows Information Protection that we're going to talk about a little bit later for your BYOD systems. Finally, threat resistance. Antivirus has always been important and remains important, but we have to take it to the next level. We push down almost 12 updates per day to antivirus with Windows Defender Advanced Threat Protection. And what's happening there is, again, it's looking for those strange behaviors. It's looking for the strange patterns. On top of that, Windows also features something called Device Guard, where you can select the applications that are going to run. Essentially, you're whitelisting what works on these PCs. And in an enterprise, that is incredibly important because we have a good idea of what applications our users actually launch and use every day. But also, what we're able to do is curb any applications coming in from the outside. Back to protect all of the vectors. If I can't run it, it can't infect me. And that's just one more way that we can assume breach and stay safe. Finally, the device is one aspect that is so important. As I've talked about, the Trusted Protection Module, or the TPM, built into your PC is working with Secure Boot. And what's happening is, if your PC's launch time, or the time that it takes to boot, increases drastically, Secure Boot's going to catch it. It's going to let the TPM know that something's changed in a drastic sense, and it's actually going to block that two-factor credential from being released. So if somebody were to have my password and compromised it and stole my PC, they still couldn't authenticate to my corporate resources because they don't have that two-factor credential. They would either need my phone, my face, or PIN. But my PC no longer will release that credential because it knows it's threatened. And that's really remarkable technology. Those are things that just they weren't available, and we weren't thinking in such a way when Windows 7 released. So again, for a modern security paradigm, these are the right tools to stay secure. So when we start to talk about protecting against modern threats, it's that secure hardware. So again, this is what we've been talking about, biometrics that actually make it easier to use this system. With Windows Hello, I can just stare at my PC and it unlocks. The TPM chip is hardening that two-factor credential. It's making it easier for me to access highly sensitive corporate resources, but also it's protected in and of itself. The virtual secure mode is something that I talked about before, where Windows is taking portions of the operating system and moving them to a different layer. This is a level of hardening that we've never been able to accomplish before. Things like Mimikatz just don't run. And finally, UEFI makes it faster for our PCs to boot, but it's also pushing some of those signals back into Windows to say, all right, something's changed. This PC has been threatened. We need to behave differently. So that's the device. What about the identity? And we talked about this a little bit. Again, security does not have to be the enemy of productivity. And single sign-on is something that we all want. And it's more secure because we don't have the same password in a number of places for it to be compromised. So when you think about single sign-on, you're using that key pair to get a certificate onto your TPM chip. And that's what your two-factor credential. And it's getting released by Windows Hello. And in that sense, because it's on the TPM, it's self-protected. And so it's something that we know and have, because you have your face, you have the PIN, you can two-factor that way. And this can work with Azure Active Directory or Active Directory. And so as I talked about before, one of the reasons that it's so important to consider the identity aspects and Windows 10 from a credential guard perspective is because pass the hash is one of the easiest ways to get started building a footprint into an environment. Again, if we can get them to open that email, click on that link, we can get their password, we can get all of the people who have remoted into that PC's password. And from there, we've started the credential crab walk, and that's, again, the anatomy of the breach. Get my first credential, get another credential, and just keep on going until I have full control over this environment. It's very easy, and it's quite scary. Finally, we have to secure data differently. Because data lives in so many places, on your PC, in the cloud, on an app server, you name it, the data needs to be self-protecting. And as you look at the cost of a per-record breach, people doing things they know they shouldn't, there's a huge vulnerability. I mean, we're sending information to the wrong person, and we need a tool to help good people from doing the wrong thing. And so that's where Windows Information Protection comes in, and I'll talk about that in just a moment, but we have to protect the device with BitLocker. We're using containment and separation with the Enterprise Mobility Suite, so we can actually containerize on the mobile device. We can do that on the PC. We can really do it everywhere. And through Windows Information Protection, we're preventing those leaks. You can't move the data around. And so I just want to quickly show you what that experience looks like. Here you can see that we've downloaded a document and it's encrypted to Microsoft.com. Because this document originated from a Microsoft SharePoint site, a template, or some indicator that it came from your enterprise, it's now encrypted on the fly with rights management. And that user is the only person with the permissions to open it. What that means is that that personal data can live side by, or that enterprise data can live side by side with personal data. Finally, because it has a rights management policy, we can make a decision as to what applications should be able to receive that data. In the bottom left-hand corner of the screen, you can see that I'm being asked if I do, in fact, want to paste this to Twitter. What it's saying is, this is corporate data. Should you be sharing it on Twitter? And it can stop that. Finally, the data stays encrypted anywhere. If this moves to Dropbox, it's not a problem. If it moves to an FTP server, it's not a problem. This is encrypted data that we can see a log and understand every attempt to connect. And that's how we're protecting from leaks. So that's a look at protecting against modern security threats. One other thing we haven't talked about is that device guard is, again, very important here, because part of this equation is making sure that you're securing the device. And on highly sensitive systems where you know what type of data is there, you're going to want to limit the number of applications that can run. And basically, you don't have to keep up with all of the new threats because you've listed what can run. You've defined that. So I now want to take you through some of these experiences. So let's talk about preventing attackers from using a stolen credential. And with that, we're going to go to an iPad and open Safari, headed for Outlook Web Access. As we all know, email is incredibly important, and it's a quick way to get some data. What you see here is in the ADFS sign-on screen, it's looking for a registered device to circumvent a second factor. If it's not a registered device, you're going to need to provide a second factor of authentication through your phone, which is actually very easy to do because it allows the use of biometrics now. You receive a request, put your thumb on your phone, and it'll go ahead and release that credential, making it very easy. So we go ahead and put in our username and password. What we found is it's challenging for a multi-factor. And this can be because the device isn't registered. It can be because of a strange logon. It can even look at where's your home office and where are you signing in from and should we allow this? It can make those decisions on the fly. There we go. After we satisfy the multi-factor challenge, we're connected to email. When we talk about shutting down those common attack vectors, email is one of the most important ones. As I've talked about several times today, people are getting phished, and attackers are so sophisticated. They're sending these emails that look like something you'd want to read. They're very smart. They're finding you on IT forums. They're finding you on LinkedIn, Facebook. They're looking for all of the breadcrumbs out on the internet to figure out what the right honeypot is to get you to take action. And phishing is a typical concern, and with Office 365, it actually looks at every single link that comes into your mailbox and protects it. The reason for that is sometimes links start off as safe but turn malicious later, so we never want to assume anything is safe. So we go and we open an email, and it tells us this is where we're going to be booking travel. I click on the link and go to the travel site, and again, because Office 365 has caught this, it knows it's a malicious link, and it's going to stop me from going there. Back to my email. Now, allowing devices to only run known and trusted applications. This is what I've been talking to you about today is Device Guard. So Device Guard is that list of things that are capable of running on the Windows PC. As you can see here under Windows 7, what we have is an email that's come in with a new Contoso expense app. This is going to be the new application that we're going to use to manage expenses here at Contoso. And so it's arrived via email. Those of us in IT would think this is a little bit suspicious, but our business users might not. And so they go ahead and they open up the application, they unzip it, run it. And now what you can see on the right side of the screen is that the Windows firewall has been turned off. Windows Defender has been turned off. Your two primary security mechanisms have now been disabled, and it's likely that this PC is owned because this is an undefined piece of software that was free to run. Now on Windows 10, that's quite different. With Windows 10, what we're doing is defining what executes. So here, you see the very same experience where I go ahead and I get that email, I open it up, and the application is actually blocked from running. And it's saying, this isn't on the list, Device Guard has stepped in and protected this machine. So when you think about just the simple breaches, Device Guard and Credential Guard are two of your strongest measures to stay secure. Finally, let's talk about how to categorize and encrypt sensitive documents. This is one of the most important things to think about as you begin to move to the cloud, because we want to take advantage of things like OneDrive for Business. We want that always-on storage everywhere. But how do we keep it secure? How do we make it easy for the user to categorize the document? And how do we categorize it if they don't know they need to? Again, security is everyone's responsibility today. So here we have several documents, and one of them is customer accounts. So let's open that. And here you can see a number of social security numbers. Across the top, you also see a sensitivity rating. Now what's really unique here is the user could pick a sensitivity rating, or by the nature of automation, when we identify a pattern, we can automatically label it or categorize it. So this document, because of the existence of social security numbers, has gone ahead and been tagged as such with the right level of sensitivity. This means that rights management is now applied to the document. So I can only open it myself. I can have controls like stopping printing. I can stop copy and paste. Again, what's happened is the document is actually protecting itself in this sense, whether the user set the categorization or it was set automatically. So again, this is another measure where we're protecting good people from doing the wrong thing. Windows information protection even comes into play here, because if I were to try to copy and paste, I might be able to take some of this over to PowerPoint as long as I'm saving in an enterprise location. But if I were to accidentally paste several of those social security numbers onto Twitter, Windows information would protect that and stop it, either through a note telling me, hey, don't do this, which allows me to go through it, or just through logging it and catching it and stopping it. And this way, we can really start to understand how data is moving. And that brings up another interesting point, because we can also help track how that data is moving out into other cloud services. So here we go. We can see that because of that classification, a watermark was applied, and it is a confidential document. Here, as we go into the backstage, you can see it's protected. We can see the permissions. And again, what we understand here is that even though this is just a Word document, it's encrypted and it's self-protecting. So let's talk about next steps. We can start testing Windows 10 today and contact your Microsoft account team to get started with a proof of concept. You can also work with a partner and start to get ready to deploy, or continue to join our webcast series here in the MTC studios each week to learn more about Windows 10 and security. With that, I'd like to thank you for joining me today, and we'll go ahead and take any questions.
So one question, Tyler, do biometrics ever get it wrong? And if there is a lockout, what happens?
It's a great question. So the question is, if there's a biometric, does it get locked out? Yes. Part of what's happening here is the TPM chip is saying, if you attempt to leverage that credential too many times and you fail, it'll go ahead and lock the TPM chip, and then you would have to essentially use the owner's password to re-enable it or take it out of that threatened mode.
Because Windows 10 offers device identity and data securities across the board, do I need to opt in for everything discussed, or is it defaulted? Also, is any of this dashboardable where I can monitor everything happening in real time?
There are several ways that you can monitor all of these things in real time through Microsoft's Advanced Threat Analytics, as well as Azure Identity Protection. And for the most part, with Office 365, you certainly want to enable all of these services. With Windows 10, we would suggest a baseline running Credential Guard, and for your more sensitive PCs, Device Guard.
What's the best guide for deploying Device Guard?
TechNet.com has some great articles to help you get Device Guard deployed. It's actually fairly simple. What you'll need to do is understand how to build the profile, and TechNet has some scripts that can take you through that process.
What would you recommend for a home user, Windows 10 home user?
For a home user, I would certainly recommend using things like Windows Hello to make things easier on yourself, but also start to make sure that you always have things like Windows Defender turned on. You're installing updates with regularity, and even turning things like Credential Guard on is never a bad idea. You could, as well, with Windows 10, you can go ahead and perform whole disk encryption on your system and start to take advantage of some of the secure boot and TPM properties there. So again, the system can be protected as well as the operating system.
So of everything that you discussed today, what versions of Windows 10 support these different solutions?
So BitLocker is supported across Windows 10 Pro and Enterprise. And Credential Guard and Device Guard are exclusive to the Windows 10 Enterprise SKUs. Windows Information Protection, as well as several of the others, are in the Professional Edition. And one of the reasons for that is to allow for bring your own device.
So because a lot of end users and corporations have corporately sponsored and personal devices, who's responsible for integrating all the functionality you discussed today on the device?
In most enterprise organizations, this is really going to be a collaboration of several different groups. It's going to be your messaging team, your collaboration team, your desktop management and IT security folks, really all coming together to build a common vision around security. And part of security, you know, if you think about it like a volume knob, you can't go from 2 to 10 in an instant. And you need to think about the right way to progress. Email is a big attack vector. That's a great place to start. And from there, when you protect email and begin to protect the desktop environment, then we can start, we've really built the fundamentals for mobility, and we can also start to protect the mobile experience. But to answer your question more directly, it's a collaboration between several groups.
Is there a password vault option?
The credential vault remains inside of Windows. However, in Windows 10 with Credential Guard turned on, you're taking advantage of that virtual secure mode or virtualization-based security. And in reality, what's happened is that hardened local security authority is moved out into a virtual machine with very specific communication channels. And that's a big measure of protection.
Thank you, Tyler. There are no further questions at this time.
Thank you for joining us today.